بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome to this special interview, probably the most sought after interview through the Productive Ramadan website, about productivity during Ramadan for mothers. Normally being a mother is quite difficult, juggling between children, maybe a job, full, you know, being with your husband and family. It's quite difficult to put everything together. And today we have Sister Khafaya Abdussalam, who is the founder of Ummuka, a website that is dedicated towards empowering Muslim mums across the globe. Sister Khafaya, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much for joining us. Today we'll start off with a big question. For mothers, Ramadan tends to be a month spent living in the kitchen. When they're not there, they engage in some other household family responsibilities. How can they make time for themselves to be spiritually productive and to feel that they have made the most of productivity during Ramadan?
The first thing I'd like to start off with is to say that we need to move away from the kitchen. We need to cook less, because we tend to find excuses for us to cook more. So as the mother, if you're married, speak to your husband and say that we need to cook simple meals. Now, if you're not married and you're a single parent like I am, all I do with my kids is we bulk cook. Now, so you do a lot of cooking, you do your shopping before Ramadan, freeze it. And then for me, I tell my kids we do not eat differently from what we normally would do, because we are our children's role model. Now, if they see us treating Ramadan as a time to feast, we're sending the wrong messages. So I think that's the first thing I like to say, is we cook less, so then we can increase our ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Excellent, that's very helpful.
Yes, so another thing I'll just quickly say, that sisters who are married, what they can also do is encourage your husbands to go to the masjid so he can break his fast with the fellow brothers. I know her sister who does that, and it really works wonders. So she doesn't have to cook, because he's always at the masjid.
There you go, inside tips, there you go.
Now, those are the things. And if we want to do our shopping, I always say, I'm a working mother, I do all my shopping online. You know, sometimes the technologies, I just make use of it to make our lives easier for us. Now, another thing that we can do, I'll just spend a little bit of time on the food aspect, is that we, before Ramadan, we have a planner. We plan the meals, and always involve the kids when you have kids, because inshallah, we need to encourage our children to feel the Ramadan spirit. And how do we do this? We need to start involving them right from the beginning. So they, you know, they already get up and they're motivated. You know, like if we look around the UK, everybody's geared up for the Olympics. That's what we need to do with Ramadan as well, inshallah. So have a planner, so you know what your meals are going to be out throughout Ramadan. Yeah, especially your suhoor meals and then your iftar meals. Yeah. So for me, that's what I say, basic. And remember that this body is a trust, so we and we're looking after it. So this is the time to feed the soul, not the body.
Excellent. I think I like there the practicalities of your advice, and we need that. We need like practical advice, because sometimes say, you know, less time in the kitchen and just more time ibadah, but people think, well, how do we actually do it? And you're giving practical tips, for example, plan your meals, for example, you know, encourage your husband to eat in the masjid, or for example, you know, cook less and plan less, and you know, speak to the children about having maybe not making a feast out of Ramadan, but making it enough time for you to make ibadah. These are sort of practical tips we need. Do you have more similar practical tips for mothers in terms of trying to balance between being a mother and also you know, personal ibadah and being content and happy with their Ramadan?
Yes. And first thing I like to say is that we know that our primary role is being a mother. Sometimes we mothers try to compete with the men. Like we have to, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us in a hadith that the best place for us to pray is at home. But yes, we want to feel that Ramadan spirit and we want to be in the masjid. So what I normally say is take care of your home. Look after the children first. And then once you've done that, then plan if you want to go out of the home. Now, if you want to stay at home, look after the kids first. What I always say is it is the quality of what you do, not the quantity. So for me, what I plan to do, I'll use me as an example, is I'm going to read the Quran after Fajr, 10-15 minutes. There is nothing to suggest that you have to complete the Quran, because when we try to overwhelm ourselves and like, I have to complete the Quran, I'm going to look after the kids, I'm going to cook, I'm going to keep up with the housework, we get overwhelmed and then we give up on everything. So if you then another thing that we need to do, inshallah, is the Nawafil prayers. Just keep up with those. If that is one habit, because I've chosen about 10 habits for myself this month, for the month of Ramadan, inshallah. And I started planning those during the month of Shaban. And what were those? To make sure I'm in wudu all the time. To make sure I'm reading the Quran 10, 15 minutes every day. And then I can increase that to half an hour. Then again, it depends on your circumstances as a mother, whether you're a working mother or you're a stay-at-home mom. I do this, I do my reading on the train because I've got an hour and a half journey on the train. If I'm a stay-at-home mom, once the kids, I normally say, sometimes the kids have a nap during the time of Zuhr prayer. During that time, why don't you spend your time, sit there, listen, read some Quran, or you can listen to the recitation of the Quran. And another beautiful thing is that when we do things and we have the intention that Allah, I'm cooking this meal for my family. Allah, I am looking after these kids and I, you know, for my family, because this is the job you've given me. And I expect you to reward me. So we are picking up good deeds as we go along. Another thing that we could do as well is, you know, the du'as, the little book, The Fortress of the Muslim. I normally say, instead of having nursery rhymes for kids, we can sit there and teach our kids that. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the best one is the one who learns something and you teach it to others. With your kids, after iftar, have 10, 15 minutes. Sit down with them, read an ayah of the Quran. And once you read the ayah of the Quran, give them the tafsir of that. Another way for us, I would normally say, is that we should try to get to bed early, inshallah. Sometimes it's a bit difficult. But after Isha, do your shafri, do your witri, read the Quran. You know, you go to bed in wudu, and then you make dua to Allah that He should make, you know, things easy for you. Some of us have babies that wake up in the middle of the night, and I think this is another problem for most mothers, that their babies wake up, and someone actually said to me, I always pray that the baby doesn't wake up, you know, so that they can do their taraweeh. You don't have to do 20 rakas, you don't have to do 10 rakas, just do 4. And do it with focus, you know, in khushu, focus on that. And, you know, once you've done that, you will feel that spiritual upliftment. Another thing is, if you then want to go to the masjid, what we do with some of the sisters is we have a babysitting club.
At the masjid?
No, with the community, and yes, we have one in the masjid. The one we have in the masjid is the sisters who are not praying, they come to a hall in the masjid, and then you can leave your babies with them while you go off and pray. So the babies are having fun with other little kids as well. They're having their little, you know, having a little play while you're praying. And like I said, normally we just do about 4-6 rakas and we go home. Because really your primary obligation is to look after the kids. That's if you've got, you know, your kids. And also we do, sisters can come to your home as well. And then we have this, what we call a rota, if you like, for Taraweeh. So I could go one night while my friend comes and stays with me, my kids. And, you know, we do it vice versa. So there's other things that sisters could do. If you're not praying as well, you can also go to, there's always community projects. Because I know lots of people say, oh, like most of the single mums, we get forgotten about unless we're reverts, and that nobody takes care of their single parents. We also need to get out into the community. You know, you could go to the masjid and serve their sisters, the iftar meals. You could cook, take it to the masjid. You can come up with a little project with your kids and go and visit. Why don't you go and visit an orphanage with your kids and let them see what happens to these kids, so they understand them and they start having these feelings, and they know that we need to look and how fortunate they are, and you know, they'll have that feeling of and they'll have that spirituality as what I wanted to say is that they will have that feeling of Ramadan, what Ramadan is about, you know, because they will see those children that are less privileged than they are, and then they'll begin to have that connection. So there's that we also do.
I like that concept about, said about involving the children and trying to instill within the Ramadan spirit. I mean, the idea, I love that idea. Take your children to an orphanage and visit an orphanage, or take them to maybe to community project. How else can mothers work with their children so that, as I said, it can be ibadah for them, the mothers, and ibadah for the children, in a sense, getting them used and understand the Ramadan spirit?
Sorry, could you repeat that again,
How
please?
can mothers work with their children? What sort of project, what sort of ideas do you have, tips, techniques for mothers to activities for their children, which would help them, which would help the mothers themselves in terms of, teach Quran, maybe teach dua, but at the same time also instill the Ramadan spirit inside the child.
Inside the child. I think first and foremost is you start with the stories, and there's these Quran books, Good
Brilliant.
Works, do lots of books on about Ramadan. So you need to explain to them what Ramadan is all about, and you explain it to them in a fun way. You can also encourage the children. What I do with my kids, they plan iftar with their friends, and they invite Muslims and non-Muslims, and they know that they're doing dawah to their friends.
MashaAllah.
So they come over, and what also happens is some of these Muslim kids then go back to their homes and insist and say to their parents, "We want to do the same thing." Now, if my kids want to cook, I give them a budget. So I say, this is £20. You go off and do what you want to do.
MashaAllah.
You're really connecting. They're engaged in it. And they'll be happy because you've given them that ownership and that responsibility. And you need to let them know that they're doing it. And the reward comes from Allah, not from your mum, but it comes from Allah. Because, and I also tell them about the gates of, the Arayan. This is another thing you can do with your kids. Tell them there's a special gate that the people who fast will go through on the Day of Judgment. And they love that. Also, I encourage another way to engage the children is also leave the Quran playing in the background. Because whilst you do that, you realize that because children listen, but repetition by repetition, they start picking up things. So leave it playing in the background, and before you know it, you find out your kids are also reciting. And then before you know it, probably in a month's time, they're reciting the whole of Juz Amma. Another thing is there's Ramadan TV now, so there's some other TV programs. And what I do with my kids, they have some savings accounts, so they have some money in it, and I encourage healthy competition. So we want to teach them about charity, about giving sadaqah. So they say, okay, I've got this much in my account. So when Uncle Jawad comes on the television and they say, they like calling in, and I let them call in and say, I'm going to donate £5 out of my pocket money, £10 out of my pocket money. And they tell you the next day that I know Allah's going to double it for me, Allah's going to triple it for me. So those are the things that we can involve them in.
And you said it gives them those childhood memories that they'll cherish when they grow up, and years down the line they'll also say,
Yeah.
"Oh, I remember my mom used to do this to me." And
Yeah.
sometimes we don't realize how much our kids appreciate those memories until years later. We say, "Oh, remember we used to do this," and then it becomes, it's beautiful. I mean, unfortunately nowadays people are not conscious or active about instilling that Ramadan spirit. It becomes okay, just we'll make sure that you have a great time at iftar and maybe Taraweeh, but we really forget the rest of the day and how to engage in the rest of the day so they can appreciate that month.
Yes, and also get them doing, lots of arts and craft. Even as adults, I like doing that. Get them, because children are very creative. Because they've got, during the long summer days, I know lots of parents already making excuses. And we do not need to make excuses. We should focus on the positive. Because if we focus on the excuses, we're just going to discourage the children. Get them involved in doing arts and craft. Some of them can go to, like, local communities, have different projects that they can get involved in as well. Things like helping your neighbor. You can have a di We have a disabled neighbor next door, and we just let the kids go there and help them with their shopping, help them with their bin, and let your children tell them all about Ramadan, because children love doing that. They have that confidence, and they will just go for it. And this is how we build that Ramadan spirit within our children, inshallah. And also reward them. Remember to reward them as well. I have, like I said, healthy competition amongst my kids. And they will say, right, I fasted, I did 10 days last year, I'm going to make sure it's 15 this year. And they get to choose their Eid presents.
MashaAllah.
And it's just, you just have to, and I also get them to cook. My elder daughter loves cooking, so I get them to leave them to cook. And they come up with all these, they bake cakes, they do, cook these lovely meals, even for sahur. And even if I need a nap, we also negotiate. Another thing you could do, especially if you're a single parent like I am, sometimes you need a nap when you come back from work. So what I do is I let them watch Ramadan TV and we negotiate and say, an hour's time, you need to wake me up. And they go, yeah, can we watch our favorite program? Yes, watch your favorite program. So while they're doing that, you're having your nap. So everybody is happy and they're learning as well. Sure. Another thing I'd like to say to working moms is, if you can take the last 10 days off, if not, take a few days off towards the end of Ramadan, and then you can spend that time in worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah. What about managing family time? Normally Ramadan has so many iftar parties, people, you, so you host some, you go to some, and it's very difficult to decline them in the considered family time. Once you go to them, you have to invite the people who invited you. So what active roles can mothers take as individuals and as wives to, you know, to manage this issue from consuming their time in Ramadan?
I think, to be honest with you, my view about that is that's something new. Because why should we spend our time partying during Ramadan? So what we should do is probably just, and what we had a discussion with some mums on how we want to do this. The best way to go about this is not to call it an iftar party. Is to, if you can, how the sisters do it. If you're not praying as a sister, then you can invite a family over as well. So you're getting reward and then you can feed them. And if you do not, what we also said is, it doesn't mean because you invite me for iftar that I have to return the same. And because I think we get caught up in this. So before you know it, you're spending most of your time going around to different houses, having iftar here and there. You can also, instead of going around having iftar parties, once in a week, you can all gather together in a community hall and then have a sister give you a talk about Ramadan or probably about tafsir or some of the Quran, and then you can break your fast that way. You must make sure we're connecting it. That spiritual connection has to remain, and then we need to know the purpose as to why we're doing this. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, appreciate that. And finally, just for wrapping up, is any last words of advice for mothers so that they can enjoy a productive Ramadan? Any advice, tips, something worked with you? Any sort of, you know, behind the scenes sort of ideas, you say, well, we should try. I tried last year, it worked wonders. Please share it with our audience. Is global, and the audience is around, you know, mostly a lot of them are mothers, a lot of them also are working mothers. So feel free to share advice you have.
The advice I have is, one is, you scale down. First thing is, you need to start scaling down your worldly activities during the month of Shaban. And then, I know it's a bit late in the day for that because we're only a few days away from Ramadan, but that's what I would do. And also, I have something that I'd love to share, and I share with everyone and all my coaching clients. What we do is we set our goals in the month of Ramadan for the year ahead. So we review our goals for last year, and then we set new ones. And then we set these new goals in the month of Ramadan. What you need to do is get a book. There's a book called Ramadan Booster.
Mm-hmm.
Get the Ramadan Booster. And also, we use your habitat, that chart that you have. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, so what we do is we define our goals for the year ahead. Then you start with your ultimate dua list. Start making a list of what you want from Allah for your family, your friends, everybody, and ask Allah for anything and everything you want. And then you start asking for that when you're in your wafil prayers, in your sujood, because that's the time Allah says you're most close to Him. When it comes to the last 10 days, when everybody's worrying about when is it Laylatul Qadr or what have you, what you need to do is spend that time, make sure you catch those last days, inshallah, and keep asking Allah for those things on your dua list. I normally cut mine down to 10. And then I keep asking Allah for all of that throughout those 10 days. And if you do that, inshallah, we're bound to catch the night of Laylatul Qadr.
Inshallah. Istighfar, where can people find you? I know you also provide coaching services for Muslim mums around the world. Where can they find you? Where can they book time with you? And maybe about your projects, inshallah.
If you go to, you can do it through umakar.com. It's my website. And you can also email me at kafaya@umakar.com. Or you can visit my Facebook page, which is Umakar for Mums.
Okay, so that's umuka.com, that's UMUKA, and that's Sister Khafaya Abdussalam, the founder of Umuka and a coach for Muslim moms across the globe. Sister Khafaya, thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing practical tips. I really enjoyed this. I learned lots of new stuff, which will definitely be useful in my life. So thank you very much for sharing those tips and techniques with us, and I wish you a very productive Ramadan.
Can I just correct something?
Please,
it's
go ahead.
It's U double M U K A.
Oh, okay, U double M U K A. So that's U double M. We'll make sure we'll include that in the show notes as part of releasing the video interview.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sister Khafaya. Okay. Take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.